reading passages of scripture from the book of Luke, chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 17. Familiar passage, perhaps, to many. I chose that passage. I wanted to leave us with some thoughts today as we have already closed out the Thanksgiving Day. The weekend is upon us now, and it's a time of everybody's hearts and minds are centered around thanks. But of course, we know that as children of God, we don't wait till this time of year to give thanks. We give God to thanks on a daily basis, because I believe it was David who said in the Psalms that he daily loadeth us with benefits. So if he blesses us daily, then certainly we ought to be a people that thank him daily. Those who truly know Jesus, I know that we thank him daily. But I just wanted to leave some thoughts with us this morning. This story has to do with 10 men. As the reading progressed this morning, we noticed that our Lord was traveling through the midst, the Bible says, of Galilee and Samaria. And here he encounters 10 men who were lepers. And lepers were, leprosy, should I say, was a dreaded disease. And you can read about that disease in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. It was a dreaded disease. And it is evident that these 10 men knew Jesus because they called him by name. They knew Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus, of course, seeing their condition, he sends them on their way. And he tells them to go show themselves to the priests. And this was a thing that was required under the Old Testament law. Jesus lived under the Old Testament law, so these men were still living under the Old Testament law, even though it's recorded in the New Testament. People with leprosy, they had to go and show themselves to the priest to make sure that they were cleared of their leprosy. You can read about that again in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 in particular. So Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. And the Bible says, as they went on their way, and this is verse 15, that they went on their way, and verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." I wonder why the other 10, or the 9, should I say, didn't come back. We'll not speculate on why they didn't come back this morning, but I just want to concentrate on the story. And of course, Jesus asked the question, weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? In other words, he was expecting that they should have come back. But for whatever the reason was, only one came back and gave thanks. I want to talk about this morning some things to be thankful for. And I want to use this story and see some points about this story that should motivate us to be a thankful people, to not be like the 9, and don't give God thanks. But look at a few general things about the story before we talk about, we're going to talk about 3 things to be thankful for. But look at some general things about the story. The Bible says this one that came back was a Samaritan. It's interesting to note about this, that he came back to Jesus, and of course, in the beginning, all 10 of them cried out to Jesus, who was a Jew. And this one that came back was a Samaritan. So we know at least one in the group was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans had no dealing with the Jews. They had no dealing with the Jews. They were, and of course the Jews had no dealing with them. They were a mixed race of people. And so they didn't normally have any dealings with the Jews. As a matter of fact, the Jews would make it a point that if they were ever going in that vicinity of Samaria, that they would not go through Samaria. They would go all the way around Samaria so that they wouldn't have to have any dealings with the Samaritans. You know the woman at the well? We remember her, don't we? In John chapter 4. She testifies, if you will, to this fact, because she was so surprised when Jesus, being a Jew, asked her for a drink of water. And she said this in John chapter 4 and verse number 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest me, or askest rather, drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have what? No dealings with Samaria. So she thought it strange that Jesus would ask her for a drink of water when he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. Jesus, as he was traveling through Galilee and Samaria, the midst, near the borderline there, as the reading would indicate, apparently some of his disciples, and as Jesus would travel, some of his disciples would always be with him. The disciples were traveling with him, and I'm sure that they didn't expect Jesus to pay any attention to these men who were lepers, number one, and especially one of them at least being a Samaritan. Because the disciples, all of Jesus' disciples, were Jews. That's why in John chapter 4 again, when they had gone into town to buy food, when they came back and found Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman, they were so surprised that he was talking to her. So they said this in verse number 27. Now the Bible says this, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They were surprised. She was surprised that Jesus would talk to her. And so one interesting thing, a point about this story again, is that we know at least one of these men was a Samaritan. And Jesus ministered to the Samaritan. A point that we should take away from that is that no matter who we come in contact with, if we have the opportunity to serve, we should never neglect to serve them. Because Jesus and God Almighty sees and looks at all people the same. Because after all of us are the same in God's sight. We're all sinners. All have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus then didn't discriminate, knowing that this was a Samaritan. I said at least one of them was a Samaritan. Jesus could have said, if he had had the mindset of the Jews, that, oh, I'll help the rest of you, but this one Samaritan, I don't want nothing to do with you, buddy. But not Jesus. He took care of the problem. So at least one of them was a Samaritan. And of course, again, we've already noticed that only one came back to give thanks. That's 10. Only one. One out of 10. 10%. I wonder today, Could that be representative of the world in which we live in? That only about 10% of people are truly thankful for what the Lord does for them. I wonder, could that be representative of what the world thinks about the blessings that it receives? But you know, again, so many people are ungrateful. Children are ungrateful to parents in many cases. People are ungrateful to one another in many cases. Many folks are ungrateful to God. So many people see the blessings that they receive as entitlement. God, you owe me this. I'm entitled to receive this blessing. Even some take blessings for granted. A cup of water. Have you ever thought to just give thanks for a cup of water? Have you ever thought to just give thanks for the air we breathe? Do we ever just take time to give thanks for the warmth that we feel? Even the cold or the cool that we feel? All of those are blessings. Sometimes we take things for granted. Do we ever give thanks just for seeing the sun shine or the moon shine? All of these things are blessings from God. We're not entitled to wake up not one day and see the sun. God doesn't owe us that. So we should be a thankful people. But again, 10 of them were cleansed. But just one came back and gave thanks. And then another point that we want to take from the story. These men were lepers. They didn't enjoy the blessings and the privileges of society that all other people did. When you go back to the book of Leviticus again, and you read about people that had leprosy, it was a dreadful, as I've already said, skin disease. Boils and sores would be on the skin. Putrefying sores. If you don't know what putrefying sores mean, young people, that's sores running with stuff oozing out of them. That was a dreadful disease. And because they had this disease, they could not socialize with other folks who were unlike them, who didn't have this. So they were banished, if you will, off into colonies. They had to live alone in groups, apart from other people. They couldn't go to the mall on Black Friday and be amongst all of y'all out there that were shopping. Couldn't do that. They couldn't live among next door to you. They had to be banished away far off in a group by themselves. And if they would encounter someone coming in their presence, the Bible says they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. They had to stand afar off. So they didn't enjoy the blessings and the privileges of, let's say, the general people of society. They were considered outcasts. But yet, here is Jesus again. Took some time to minister to the outcasts. Again, a point that we can take from that. Let us not look down our noses at people. People who don't look like us. People who don't dress like us. As a matter of fact, they had to rend their clothes. They had to tear their clothes. They couldn't have on a nice suit like this. If they did, they had to tear it. I don't know why they had to do it, but the Bible said they had to do that. They had to cover their mouths and their nose. And so we would see a person like that, in this shape, with sores on their bodies. Their skin is hanging off of them. And we would say, if we're not careful, I don't want to get too close to them. Don't want to touch them. But Jesus ministered to these 10 men. Why? Because he cared. And so I say to us this morning again that we must not make a difference with people that we come in contact with. Those are just some general things that I want to leave us from the story. But now let's examine it a little bit closer. And here are the real points that I want us to take home with us this morning. We talked about air. We talked about water. We could talk about food. We could talk about clothing. We could talk about houses. We could talk about cars. We could talk about lands. All of these things are wonderful blessings, and let us never forget to give God thanks for all of these things, because they all come from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. So they all come from God. But I want to talk about something that's a little more important than the house we live in. A blessing that's a little more important than the car that we ride in. A blessing that's a little more important than the food that we eat. I want to talk about three spiritual blessings that we ought to be so thankful for that we can see coming out of the story of these 10 men that were cleansed. So let's look at it. Let's look at it. Number one, we ought to be so thankful for the love of God. I think we see that in this story. We see the love of God in this story. There was no outside force that would compel Jesus to minister or pay any attention to these men. Certainly the disciples wouldn't encourage it because they were Jews. The Jewish population wouldn't encourage it because they were Jews. The Pharisees, they wouldn't encourage it because they thought they were so much better than the average Jew, let alone being better than the Samaritans. So the Pharisees wouldn't encourage it. What was it then that caused Jesus to pay some attention to these lepers? I believe it was nothing but the love of God, the compassion that he had for these individuals. It was the divine love of God and the love of Jesus. It was out of a heart of compassion that he paid some attention to these lepers. Even though, you see, he didn't have to care, but he did. And you know the only thing that will cause us to care when we don't have to care is the love of God in us. Jesus didn't have to, at least, he didn't have to bat his eye. He didn't have to give them the time of day. But because he cared, the Bible says, he said to them, go on your way. And as they went, the Bible says they were cleansed. So it was the love of God that caused Jesus to pay some attention to these 10 men. And isn't that what caused God to pay some attention to a lost and a dying world? John 3:16, we know what it said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. God didn't have to care. God could have let us all go to hell. But because he cared, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish. Why is he not willing? Because he cares. Because he loves us. That's one of the greatest spiritual blessings that we can be thankful for each and every day that we wake up. If it be God's will for us to wake up, we ought to thank him, not only for getting up, but thank him for his love. his divine love in sending his son to die for our sins. Romans 5 and verse number 8 says that while we were yet sinners, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad this morning that that due time came? Christ died for the ungodly. Who was it that was ungodly? The entire world was ungodly. And Christ gave his life for that world that was ungodly. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God. You see, again, if we had loved God, maybe he would have owed that to us. But we didn't love him. The world did not love God. So John says by inspiration, herein is love, not that we love God, but what? That he loved us. Sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. John 4, 1 John 4 and 19 says again that we love him. God loved us first. So we ought to be so thankful as we look at the story again. And that's why I'm sure this Samaritan came back, because he realized what a condition he was in, having leprosy. Jesus paid attention to him and cleansed him from his leprosy. And he recognized that, and he came back and he glorified God with a loud voice, the Bible says, and gave him thanks. Are we glorifying God? Are we praising God? Are we thanking God for our salvation? I heard Brother Hall pray in his prayer, thank you for our salvation. We ought to always be thankful for our salvation. Because again, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We do not deserve it. But because of God's grace, his love and his compassion, he paid some attention to this lost and this dying world. And he sent Jesus to die for our sins. So number one, we ought to be so thankful for the love of God. But then there's something else as we look at this story that we ought to be so thankful for. These lepers, again, they were cleansed. You see, again, I repeat that leprosy was a dreadful and a terrible disease. It was also a contagious disease. And as I've said already, those who had it, they had to be shut out of the camp. They had to live outside the camp. They couldn't live among the general population. So it was a dreaded disease. But you know what? Leprosy, in a spiritual sense, was a type of sin. It wasn't because of sin, and it wasn't sin, but it was a type of sin. Do you not know that because of our sin, we are outside of the camp, the spiritual camp? The only way to get inside of the spiritual camp is that we have to be cleansed from our sins. The only way that these lepers could ever enjoy associating with the general population again is that they had to be cleansed from their leprosy. As long as they had leprosy, they had to stay outside of the camp. And if they had it until they died, they never could enjoy the blessings of being inside of the camp. Sin keeps us outside of the spiritual camp, where all of the spiritual blessings are. That's why Isaiah was inspired to write in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. Sin puts us outside of the camp. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be grateful this morning that we have an opportunity to have fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ inside the camp. And inside the camp means inside the church. Outside of the church, you have no fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to be so thankful that Jesus, And this is the second thing we ought to be thankful for. That is for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. If it were not for his cleansing power that's found in his blood, we would still be in our sins. If it were not for Jesus paying attention to these 10 lepers, they would have still been in their leprosy. But because he paid attention to their leprosy, he cleansed them from their leprosy. And this one came back and gave him thanks. You see, sin again has its end in death. The end result of sin is death. We know what Romans 6 and verse 23 says, don't we? For the wages of sin is what? Death. And that's not physical death. Yes, we got to die of physical death. But that's spiritual death. If we don't get rid of our sin, we're going to die spiritually. And we will be forever separated from our Lord. And we don't want to be forever separated from our Lord. We want to be able to enjoy the presence of our Lord. So the end results of sin. James said it like this in James chapter 1 and verse number 15. Notice what he says. He says, then when lust has what? Conceived, it does what? Bring forth death. And death, when it is finished, or rather sin, and sin brings forth sin, I should say. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth what? Death. The end results of sin is death. The end results of leprosy was death. But Jesus paid attention to these 10 men, and they didn't have to live any longer with that dreaded condition. But I want us to notice something again. It was nothing that these men could do within themselves to cleanse themselves of their leprosy. That's why they cried out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They couldn't do anything. There was no medicine that could cure this disease. There was no remedy that could help this disease. There's no remedy that we can do within ourselves to cleanse us or ourselves from the sin that's in our lives. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can be cleansed from our sins. Listen to what the Bible says in Titus chapter 3. Verse number 5 and 6, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We can't work long enough. We can't work hard enough. We can't work good enough to cleanse ourselves from our sins. So it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us. What was it that caused Jesus to pay attention to these 10 men? Again, it was the love of God, and it was the mercy. You see, love and mercy goes together. It was the mercy of Jesus. It was the love of God that caused him to pay attention to these men. So Paul says, that he writes to Titus, he says, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when are we washed? When are we regenerated? We are washed and we are regenerated when we go down into a watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. We are cleansed from our sins when we are washed in the watery graves of baptism. So, nothing we can do within ourselves to cleanse ourselves is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter said it like this when he wrote by inspiration in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19, for as much as you know, he says, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. No money could do it. No material possessions could do it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. So we ought to be so thankful for the cleansing power that's in the blood of Christ. And so as we commemorate his death and his suffering by taking of the Lord's Supper, each and every time that we take the Lord's Supper, our minds, not just on that time, but especially at that time, our minds ought to go back to the fact that it's because of his blood that I can be cleansed from my sins. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary, that my sins can be forgiven. And so, when our sins are forgiven, we are no longer defiled creatures in God's sight. We've been washed again, as we've already said. When Paul, who was Saul at the time, he was told by Ananias in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "And now, while tarriest thou, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience." When we get that good conscience, when we do what God tells us to do, we are cleansed, our conscience are cleansed, we are no longer defiled. As long as these men had leprosy, they were defiled. As long as we're in our sins, we are defiled. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our sins. I'm reminded of the song. Perhaps you know it too. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Do what? Lose all their guilt to stay. Lose all their guilt to stay. Lose all their guilt to stay. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilt to stay." When we obey the Lord, and in the watery grave of baptism, all of our sins are washed away. And the guilt of that sin, or those sins, are washed away. That's why we say so many times that when we repent of our sins, let's go on and let's not be shackled with the guilt of sin. Because the blood of Jesus, not only does it take care of the sin, but it takes care of the guilt of the sin. Yes, I know I used to be a liar, but I'm not a liar anymore. Don't keep traveling down through life's journey. Can't do anything good because I'm always thinking about the fact I used to be a liar. The guilt is just got me in prison. Let it go and go on in freedom with Christ Jesus. Used to be talk about folks, gossip, lie on folks, as I've already said, commit fornication, adultery, whatever the sin may have been. If you've been forgiven of it, let it go. Don't be shackled by the guilt of it. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses us, not only from our sin, but also from the guilt of the sin. Thank God for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. This Samaritan who came back, I'm sure he didn't allow the fact that he used to be a leper hold him down. But he went back, the Bible says, and he glorified God. And with a loud voice, he fell down at the master's feet and he gave him thanks. Can we do that as a people? Realizing that our sin have been forgiven. And if your sin, if you're here today and your sins haven't been forgiven, I want to encourage you to let it go. Let the blood of Jesus Christ take care of it. If you haven't been baptized, go down into that water grave of baptism after repenting of those sins. And let the blood of Jesus Christ take care of your sins and take care of the guilt. That's what happens when you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the last thing that we want to take home today to be so thankful for is that we ought to be so thankful for the change that Christ can make and has made in our lives. Do you think that this, I'm sure all nine of them, I'm sure, were thankful, but only one came back. But do you not think, or do you think, that these 10 men realized that a change had been made in their life? They were cleansed. No longer did they have to, when they get to a crowd, have to say, unclean, unclean. They could get into that crowd and socialize. Why was that happen? Why was that possible? Because a change had been made in their lives. No longer again did they have to live outside of the camp. But again, they could come on back into the camp. Why? Because a change had been made. No longer did they have to walk around with torn clothes on. Why? Because a change had been made. No longer did they have to wear the covering over their mouth. Why? Because a change had been made. When we come to Christ, and when he takes care of our sin problem, he gives us a new life. A change has been made in our lives, and we ought to be so thankful. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank God for the change that Christ makes in our lives. Romans chapter 6, Paul said to the Romans, verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk, he says, in newness of life. How can we walk in newness of life? Only because a change has been made in our lives. And so we ought to be so thankful then that a change has been made in our lives. We have the hope of glory because of this change that have been made in our lives. Again, another song come to mind. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Are we thankful, truly thankful, for the change that Jesus has made in our lives? We ought to thank him every day. That, Lord, I can now live a new life because a change has taken place in my life. And so I say again this morning that if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you ought to do that today. Let him make a change in your life. Maybe then, as I close this morning, be a ever thankful people. God is so good to us. Woke us up this morning. Clothes in our right mind. A reasonable portion of our health and strength. We were able to put one foot in front of the other. We was able to put our clothes on. Able to come on out to this place. All of these are wonderful blessings that God has showered upon us. But the most of all, he has blessed us with these spiritual blessings that I've talked about this morning. Oh, yes, we ought to be so thankful. Ought to be so thankful for the divine love of God. Only the love of God caused Jesus to die on the cross. Be so thankful for his cleansing blood. Because if it were not for his cleansing blood, we'd still be in our sins. Or be so thankful for the change that he's made in our lives. Because if he had not made that change in our lives, we'd still be what we used to be. That is, a guilty distance from God. So even today, we may not be all that we need to be, but we ought to be so thankful that we are not what we used to be. Thank God for the change that Jesus has made in our lives. Will there not 10 cleanse? Well, the 9. I believe that question is still being asked to the world today. Why aren't you so thankful, world? Why won't you obey me, world? Are you really thankful what I've done for you? But again, as we look at that story, only 1 out of 10 came back and gave thanks. And you know, Jesus says something in Matthew chapter 7 when he says just a few are going to be saved, but a multitude of people are going to be lost. But you know what I always say? I want to be among the few. Don't you? So if nobody else is saved, I want to be the one that's saved. I hope you feel the same way. But you can only do it if you obey the Lord. If you're here then this morning, you need to come to the Lord. We want to encourage you to do that. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. You then will be inside the camp, inside the church, where all spiritual blessings are because you'll be in Christ. You need to come. Why not come? If you somehow, you've erred along the way, you need to repent of that, turn away from it. And if you need to confess before us this morning, why not do that? Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we're begging you, pleading with you, come to the Master right now while we stand, while we sing. Have you a heart? Oh,